I just had to get the last word in, huh? Oh, that's all right. All right. Again, good to see you here this evening. Maybe we'll have some more folks come in. Our Wednesday night crowd starting to drop a little. We need to kind of get the word out and be calling folks, get people back in here. I know it's getting darker and it's school's in and all of that, but, man, I sure hope folks will be faithful to the house of God. 3 hours or so a week is not much considering how much we put into other things. And so I appreciate you being here, though. So let's go ahead and we'll go to the Lord in prayer and open the service and have Brother Tim come and lead us in a song. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. And what a joy it is to be back at the house of the Lord tonight on Wednesday night, a beautiful night. And Lord, I do pray for the folks going through that storm, and we may get a little of it as an afterthought. But God, we're thankful for our safety, but we do pray for the folks there in Florida. I know many preachers and pastors down in that area, and we do pray, God, that they'll be safe from the damage, but a pretty strong storm, they say, one of the worst ever. And so we do pray for their safety. And God, we thank you for everyone that's here tonight. We appreciate so much you taking care of us and meeting our needs as only you can. And we pray you'll bless the service tonight, bless the music, the special, and then, of course, the Word of God to our hearts. We love you and thank you for saving us. Thank you for dying on the cross. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's see him.
113, let's stand and sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. 113, everybody take a hymnal and join us. All right, play that again, Steve. All right, let's sing together now. Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found
Brother Tim, you mentioned a couple of things. All right, let me take care of this real quickly, and then we'll have you come and do that, and we'll have another song. We want to be praying for some folks this week. Continue to pray for Shirley Hughes Miss Shirley Hughes, continue to pray for her. Dwight McCall, how about Dwight? Doing better, okay. And then Heather and Josh, how are they doing, Christy? And your dad, how's he doing, Jimmy Lloyd? Okay, down in Charleston. So pray for her dad, Jimmy Lloyd, if you would. Brother Ed McAbee, Brother Jimmy Rose is now in the Magnolia Center Nursing Home in Greenville. I guess it's probably some kind of a chain with what's here. But anyway, he's going to be there now, looks like. So please remember him in prayer. He and Miss Nancy, I don't know, he needs a little more care now than I think he can get at home. And pray for Brother Terrell. Of course, Terrell was here Sunday night. And, of course, he came off the field for one reason, to help take care of his dad, because his mother, Miss Nancy, had knee replacement, so she wasn't getting around too good either. And so anyway, and I'm sure he probably shared the story with you all Sunday night, I guess. But just continue to pray for the family, if you would, okay? And let's see, I think that's all I got here. Anybody got any prayer requests you want to mention here on Wednesday night? Good request you'd like. By the way, pray for Stephanie and McKenna. They were in a car accident. They're doing fine, as you can see. She got a little scratch on her head. And at first, the policeman said nobody was at fault, but that didn't seem logical. Well, then the other party has admitted to it. And so anyway, the insurance going to take care of it, either fix her car or total it and then give her the money so maybe she can get another one. But her boss, her veterinarian, has been very kind to let her give her a vehicle to use, and we're grateful for that. God's been good. I tell you, she's been faithful, her and McKenna. And we're going to baptize McKenna in November, on the first Sunday night in November. I think it's the 4th. And so we're looking forward to that. But anyway, and then, of course, pray for us. Judy and I will be headed to Pennsylvania Saturday. We'll be there Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And then we'll come back on Tuesday. So pray for us. And they've been up that way. It's actually about 10 and a half hours away. It's up really on the north side of Pittsburgh. It's, I think he said, an hour and a half from Niagara Falls. And but I thought it was kind of a little more east towards Hershey and Lancaster, I guess. Is that out there with the Amish country out there? But I think it's more north of that. So anyway, we're looking forward to going up that way and being with Brother David. Talked to him this afternoon. And anyway, you pray for us as we travel. Like I said, I've never been up that way. We, Joaquin and I and Steve, have been there accidentally. Because we didn't know we were there until I had no clue where we were until I saw Gettysburg, and I said, that can only be Pennsylvania. And I said, and if my geography serves me correctly, and I did teach geography in school, Gettysburg is west of New York City, where we want to be going. And so I knew somehow we had to turn around, and we did, but we had to stop in eastern Pennsylvania so Joaquin could have a donut. We drove about 2 hours off the interstate just to find that Dunkin' Donuts, so he could have a donut. And then he didn't even offer to pay for it. No, yeah, he did, actually. He did. So if you ever want to go on a really fun but fast trip, that's right. That's right. Go with Joaquin. He left here the other night. I hadn't said anything to him about it lately. You know, I didn't even pay no attention. He left here Sunday night, I think it was. And I'm telling you what the truth. I heard rocks flying out there, and his little car up the road, he went. I said, boy, that reminds me of the trip we took. So anyway, I think we're going to rename him Jehu because he drives the chariot furiously. Amen. But anyway, you pray for us while we're traveling. Looking forward to having a good time. By the way, and I want to say to the church, thank you for the gift for our anniversary. It was so kind of you to do that. And someone, and I don't know if you're here, it's anonymous, so I don't know who it was. So if you're here, I'm talking to you, even though I don't know it's you. Someone gave a pretty nice gift Sunday night, and Brother Steve just gave it to me a little while ago, and it's anonymous. So if you're here and you did that, thank you as well. We so appreciate your kindness, and your love to us is undeserved, but we appreciate it very much. And so I just wanted to say thank you to the church. Miss Ramona, good to see you back. She's been a little under the weather, and I understand the Sunday I was gone that Kenny was here with you. Always hate to miss Kenny. I love her son, Kenny. What a blessing he is. I hate I missed him, but I'm glad you're feeling better. He's the best. He's the best, I know. And then good to have Susan and Kenny back. They were down in Georgia. They got out just before this thing come up on. I think they're, if I understand this correctly, southern Georgia is getting hit with 135-mile-an-hour winds. It kind of now. And by the way, it's not even near what Hugo was. Hugo's not even on the top five. I don't hardly understand that. But this one is the fifth largest hurricane in American history, and it's hard to believe that the strongest one was 185-mile-an-hour winds. Boy, I'm glad I live somewhere away from all that, I guess. But you pray for them folks down there. We know, and we're going to get some of that, you know, more of the tropical storm. Of course, the problem with that is all the rain. And Shelton just got back from down there. I hope they don't get affected again, although they talk like we could get anywhere from 8 to 10 inches of rain. So obviously that'll really help us, but it won't help them folks down there. So we still need to be praying for the folks while they're is he back down there? Is that what he's done? Oh, he's just working. Well, that's right. Barbara, her sister, lives in Tallahassee, and they were a little bit, I think, a little bit to the right of where the eye came on shore. So pray for Barbara down there. Amen. Good. They're closing on the 26th. Finally going to get Ms. Wass's house sold. I know they're tickled about that. Now they're trying to find her an apartment to live in. Got that too. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? I tell you, she has get moved in. Well, that's wonderful. We've blessed her heart. She's tried for a long time to get that house sold. So the Lord answered that prayer, and we're thankful for that. All right, come on, Brian. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry, Dante. Okay. All right, so let's remember that. All right, yes, sir. She's allergic to not being here. That's what it is. If she don't come give my hug every Sunday and Wednesday, she has a reaction. Well, I'm glad that's not an issue, but they got to find out what it is. Bless her heart. All right, anybody else? I don't want to miss anyone. Yes, ma'am. He's getting married next weekend, so we know a lot of people down in that area, a lot of preachers and people down that way, and just happened to be in that sort of, because Pensacola Christian College is where a lot of them went to school and that sort of thing, that's where we kind of know them from. So many of them that stayed down there are still kind of in that cone of uncertainty, whatever you call that, but anyway, so we certainly want to be remembering them in prayer. All right, anybody else?
Okay.
Their sister's boy. Okay. And Casey, West Columbia? Lexington, I guess, is where he's in the hospital. Okay.
Right. Okay.
All right. Brother Ed, you had your hand up. What's going on with her? Oh, does she? I didn't know that. Okay.
You did?
All right. So pray for Claudetta. And thank you for praying for me. I went to the doctor Monday, and the doctor said, have you ever taken prednisone? And I said, no. And he said, I'm going to give you 6 of them. He said, when you take the first 2, you're going to feel better. And I did. And I did. And so I took the other 4. Now I feel real. No, I didn't take them all at once. No. I took them just like I was supposed to. I didn't overdose or anything like that, and I got antibiotics in me, so I still have a little bit of the cough. But I did notice that after I took the 5th and 6th prednisone tablet, that I got a telephone book tore it in half. So, you know, just kind of bulked me up a little bit. So I bust out of my jacket. Don't let that bother you, okay? No, that's steroids. That's not prednisone. I think prednisone just makes you get fat. I don't know, so maybe I shouldn't be taking that, and I don't know. But anyway, thank you for praying for me. Anyway, I feel much better and been able to sleep a little bit, so thank you for your prayers. All right? Come on, Brian.
Real quick, I got a brand new announcement. Off the presses, Rusty Anchors will have a meeting on Tuesday. Maybe not. Let's see. Thursday the 18th. I told you it was hot off the presses. Thursday the 18th. Are you at 10 o'clock here at the church? Okay, you Rusty Anchors, remember that a week from tomorrow. All right.
And the budget report for September is down here on the table. If you'd like to pick one up after the service. 437. Let's stand and sing, Since the Savior Found Me, a good testimony song. 437. We'll sing the first and last stanzas. Sing out now. Since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sins, I have had the joy and living hope within. Gone is all the shame and sorrow of the past, there underneath the precious blood of Christ at last. Save, 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 I'm happy on the way. Save, 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 I love Him more each day. Save, 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 I know He's mine, He's our. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by His power. Since the Savior found me, I have perfect rest, living in the realm of joy and happiness, leaning on my Savior, looking for that day when He shall come to catch His waiting bride away. Same, 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 I'm happy on the way. Same, 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 I love Him more each day. Same, 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 I know He's mine each hour. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by His power. All right, let's enjoy a little time of fellowship.
Turn him up because he is you with my back turned. Hey, Brother Ed. How are you, Brother Ed? I saw you dragging that shrub. You're doing it the right way now. All right, thank you so much. If you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service. Let's have the ushers come on. We'll take care of the Wednesday night offering, and then Brother Tim will introduce the special. All right, come on, boys. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the offering. And Brother John James, while you're standing right there before you sit down good, how about ask the blessing on the offering, would you?
Before Pastor comes tonight, we have Dante coming to sing the special.
A new name written down in glory, and
Thank you, Dante. I tell you what, I just had this idea. Maybe some Sunday night, Dante lead the singing, Jake play the piano, have the junior choir sing. Yeah, we'll turn it over to the kids one Sunday night, just for the singing part, not the preaching part. All right. Get your Bibles ready. Listen as the pastor comes.
Amen. Brother Tim fell short as they were already got a kid preaching there all the time, so that kept him from having to say anything he didn't want to say publicly. Amen. All right. Thank you. Good job, Dante. Thank you for that. It's good singing tonight. Judges chapter number 17 this evening, the book of Judges, chapter number 17, page 307 if you have a Schofield Bible. And when you find your place, if you'll stand with me, you're able, we want to read some scripture tonight, and then I'll give you a few thoughts. On this thought, how dedicated are you? How dedicated are you? Look at chapter 17, verse number 1. The Bible said, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. Now, you can look in the previous section of the scripture and find that Samson has just died. He is the last judge in Israel. Four kings were brought about. You'll notice it says there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. Now, this is not the Micah who wrote the book of Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. His mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Now, if you were just reading right there, you'd think, well, your young man found little mom's money and took it. And then he admitted to it and gave it back to her. And she said, thank God, son, you're honest and upright and forthright for returning the money. Always remember, you got to read the whole story. Look at verse 3. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. Well, that sounds good. Sounds like she's going to give it to the Lord. Amen. Here's the rest of the story. From my hand for my son to make a graven image. Oops, that just killed it. To make a graven image, a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. In other words, she said, I'm glad you gave it back, son. I want to make some idols, and I'm going to give it to you to get that done. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder. And I thought she was going to give all 1,200. She only wound up giving 2. Bible says, and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, little G-S. Obviously, this man and his mother are very involved in idolatry. And he made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In other words, he made up a priestly garment and then elected one of his sons to be the priest at his house. So now we know that the whole thing is just messed up because he's made graven images and now he's appointing his son. Now remember, he's an Ephraimite, not a Levite, and so they can't be priests according to the law of Moses. So now we know that this is a very messed up family. Started out pretty good. How we're finding things out. Notice it said verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, and here, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. And he sojourned there. This stranger comes along and stays a while. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, sojourned where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. So now he feels like the Lord has honored him with a Levite who happens along. He says, why don't you stay here and not be a father to Micah, but like you would call a priest, father. You know, it's a term of, to him, it's a term of religious respect. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. The Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. Micah consecrated the Levite. The young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite, my priest. So the story starts really well, but it ends really bad. Because, by the way, you remember the other day when I preached a little bit on the idea of blasphemy? That last verse. And Micah ascribed to God something that was evil. Because he says,
Now know I that the Lord, that's Jehovah, that the Lord Jehovah will do me good, seeing I have a Levite or a priest. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to find the truth in this scripture tonight, that we at Anchor Baptist Church will go away from here more dedicated than we've ever been before. We love you and thank you that, Lord, we don't have to trust in a man. We trust in Jesus. We don't have to have a religious experience for God to be good to us. We have to have a salvation experience for God to be good to us. So, Lord, help us through the scripture tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Remember, I said I want to preach for just a few minutes on how dedicated are you. Now, here is a seemingly kind of an unrelated type story, I guess, because Samson, the judge, has died, and so now there's no king and there's no judge. There's no law, really. And so people, as the verse told us, began to do what was right in their own eyes. Now, you all know that that's automatically the wrong thing to do. It's automatically, according to God's word, wrong for anyone to do what they think is right in their own eyes. There are people today who will tell you that whatever you do, if you don't think it's wrong, that's not wrong. If you think it's right, then it's right because your perception is your truth. Nowhere, you can't show me anywhere in the Bible where God gives us that latitude. God in His Word never tells us to figure it out ourselves and do what we think is right. Now, it does tell us to find out what God says about it and then do what's right. That's not us doing what's right in our own eyes. That's doing right in God's eye. But here we have a story that seems sort of, it's almost like an afterthought, but really not. In fact, God describes an entire chapter to the story. And so you'll notice here, though, I'll just give you a couple of things here tonight. First of all, let's look at Micah's mother for a minute. We got a lot of moms in here. You can say dads, too, parents, if you will. Look at Micah's mother in this story. And it starts in verse number 1, the Bible seems to indicate, and that's why you should always read the entire passage. I've told you that before. You'll get things wrong if you don't read the entire context. And so here it starts off with a mother who had 1,100 shekels of silver, looks like laid aside to give to God, to give to the church. We appreciate that. Then as you read the rest of the story, you find out what she meant to do with it. She meant to make idols with it. And she allowed her son, instead of teaching him that it was wrong to steal the money, she teaches him that since you gave it back, that must mean the Lord is going to bless whatever we're about to do. And you think to yourself, well, now that sounds pretty good. I'd want to teach my children, if you steal something, you return it, you confess it, you say you're sorry, you get forgiveness from God, and the Lord will be good to you. The Lord will forgive and bless, right? That's what the Bible tells us. If we confess our sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It restores the fellowship with God. So sounds to me like, now remember, this is a Jewish mother and her son. They're Ephraimites. They're part of the 12 tribes, the half tribe of Ephraim, of Joseph's boys. And so sounds like they're doing the right thing. But then you read the motive. You read, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest. The story. Young folks don't know who Paul Harvey was, but I used to love to listen to him on the radio when I could get him. But anyway, so she says, the Lord's going to be good. Here's what I want you to do, son. I want you to go down and give it to the founder, and I want some golden or some silver graven molten images made. I want you to make idols. And of course, she is ascribing God's name to the idols, isn't she? Twice she uses the word or the name Jehovah. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But you see that in the Old Testament is speaking directly of Jehovah, God Himself. And so we know, for example, as I mentioned, blasphemy is ascribing to God something that Satan does or ascribing to Satan something that God's done. Well, we know from the very first three of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses that what they're doing is sinful. You know God's not going to honor that. And yet twice she tells the boy, instead of correcting him and trying to use it as a teaching moment, she says, you know, I think God's going to be good to us now. And of course, you can see how it, and so let me just say, first of all, that that in this mother, we find that she first led him wrong. She led him wrong. Mom and dad, it's so very important that you lead your children right. treat them right. Even if the situation, now we know there's no judge, there's no king, there's no prophet. Samuel has not come along yet. And so really, it's kind of a void in Israel. But you know what God requires of us to know enough about Him when we come in contact with Him and have a relationship with Him, that when things, there's a void in our life, we do not just forget all that God has told us. We do not forget the principles and the truths and the standards that God has already taught us. Hey, if all of a sudden, come Sunday, you didn't have a pastor anymore. Something happened to me, or I just quit, and I'm not, by the way, so don't panic. But I'm not, but I'm just saying, you'd be surprised, folks. Now listen, I've dealt with some. I have candidated in some where they've been without a pastor for 2 or 3 years. And then I would go in and I would preach and they'd sit down and talk to me. You cannot believe how many independent, fundamental King James churches that I went to before I came to Columbia loved my preaching. And when I started telling them about what the Bible said about certain standards and convictions, they told me to my face, "You're not the one we want." You know why? Because they have lived so long with a void of spiritual leadership in the church that now everybody in the place thinks that they can decide how it's supposed to be run. You know what they're doing? They're doing what's right in their own eyes. Instead of, no, they ought to know better. That happened here. You folks ought to know better. You ought not to go more than 30 days without a preacher. If you pray and say, "God, we need a pastor," God will send you one. And don't predetermine what he ought to be like. Start to say, "He or she." Gee whiz. Woo. Boy, if you do that, I'll tell you, you're way off. But I don't know where that came from. I guess just automatic, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, you ought to know exactly what he should be like. You ought to know how he should preach, what he should believe. And you continue to practice that until that leadership place is filled, right? The same thing with moms and dads. Hey, listen, mom and dad, you're raising your children. It happens. It happens all the time, unfortunately, where one or the other passes away and they're trying to raise children. Now they're a single parent family, not by their own choosing. Many are by their own choosing, but I'm talking about Christian families that where God, for whatever reason, decides to take one of the parents to heaven, and the other one has to raise that child. Well, when you were doing it together, raising those children together, now that there's only one of you, and you start doing it the way you ought, in other words, you're admitting that the husband or the wife was the one that was really raising the children, because now you're going to do what you want and let them do what they want. Now you're teaching them to do what's right in their own eyes. You follow what I mean about being dedicated? I mean, as church members, you ought to be dedicated to the standards and convictions and the truths of the Word of God, whoever is leading this congregation. As a parent, you are to teach your children the right things of God and teach them the standards and convictions and truths and principles of the Word of God, if it's both of you or just one of you. God never gives us permission to do what's right in our own eyes. That's why the world's in the shape it's in, because everybody's doing what they think is right. And now the government is now okaying what they see is right. And so now they have some backing, even though God does not back that type of behavior. So we find that his mother led him wrong. In verse 4, now we find she's lying to him. In verse 4 it says, "Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200. She said, "I got 1,200 shekels of silver I want to give to the founder to make idols." She only gave him 2. Do you know another woman in the Bible that pulled a stunt like that? Who? Sapphira. Remember in the book of Acts? They sold their property and told Peter and them, "We're going to sell it and we're going to give all the money to the church." And buddy, they sold it and he brought in his half of it. That was less than half of what he really sold it for, and gave it. And the Holy Ghost impressed upon Peter. He said, "Why'd you lie to me?" He said, "Why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost? Be careful about lying to God." And he died right there in front of God and everybody. She came in a couple hours later. They done hauled him out. She walked in, throwed her money in the pot. And Peter asked her plainly, "Hast thou sold as thou hast said? Did you do what you said?" Giving her the chance to confess her fault. And she said, "Yep, we sure did. Here it is." He said, "You see those feet right there? They just carried your husband out, and now they're fixing to carry you out." Boom, she hit the floor dead as a hammer. You know why? They lied to God. They lied to God, didn't they? She lied to her son. Now, isn't that a good way for a mother to do her children? Teach them to lie? That's what she did. Hey, listen, not only did she lead him wrong, but then she lied to him. And then look at verse 5, and here's, I think, the worst of it. and the man Micah had a house of gods. Who let him have all them gods? Mama did. You know why? Because Mama believed in him. So first she led him wrong, then she lied to him, and now notice, she let him continue. He didn't bother to stop it. She let that ungodly idolatry continue. Listen, you can use, you ready? I ask you the question of how dedicated are you? You can use the Lord's name all you want to. You can brag about being a Baptist. You can even say you're a Christian. But if you are doing like this mama's doing, don't think for a minute that God's going to do you good. Amen? God's not going to bless you for this kind of life. Leading your children astray. Leading other Christians, leading new converts astray. I mean, leading your fellow employees astray. And then lying about it. And then letting it go on. Judy told me not to preach too hard. She said, I'm the Judy ghost today. She said, don't preach hard because you'll get all roiled up. Well, this roils me. I guess you'll just have to put up with it. So notice now, she's lied to him. She's led him the wrong way and let him continue to live that way. Now notice the repercussion from it. Notice what comes from it. Folks, listen to me. If you don't follow God, if you lie to God and you lie to each other, and you lead your kids or you lead someone astray and you're not living right and you're letting it continue in your life, this is what will happen. Be sure your sin will find you out. She bragged on isn't the Lord going to be good to us, son? You admitted to stealing my money. Boy, I'm glad you brought it back because I want you to make idols with it. And obviously it's been going, it's kind of like I mentioned Sunday about them posters and stuff in your teenager's room. Huh? Well, Micah had a room full of posters. Mom's the one that could have said, hey, take them down. We're not gonna worship them idols. We're not going to do that. But she was telling him to. Well, here's another thing. It's not in here, but I think you can put this in and not hurt the scripture. She turned around in verse 6 or 7 and said, hey, we're not going to do that anymore. You know what he would have said? Why? We've done it up till now. Kind of hard to change direction when you've been going that way for so long. Huh? And you know that's right. When I was telling you about when we were traveling, and we got messed up. We was in Pennsylvania, and I said, man, we got to get back towards New York City. So I punched in the GPS alternate routes. And you know what it said? There are no other. We had to go the way we were going. There wasn't a way to turn. It said there is no other route. Guess what? When you've gone too far, there's no going back. Now, if that's not a perfect example of not being dedicated, because so many people will live right as long as it suits them, and God's good to them. But as soon as something bad happens, what do? They go too far, or they don't go back. They're so far out there, they can't get turned around. And it winds up bringing not only trouble to them, but all of a sudden a young Levite boy who's probably just, who knows, he's a Levite, so he certainly could have been in the priestly line. I don't know, but it doesn't say the boy is doing anything wrong. He's just traveling. But you see what happens? When you're not dedicated to the Lord, you're going to meet people that God's going to put in our pathway. Amen. We have opportunity to lead the right way and not lie to them. If they're not doing right, we don't let them continue. We try to be honest with them and help them. If not, we're going to wind up just like this story ends. So notice, first of all, what's wrong here? Why is this family's dedication so messed up? Number one, because he's got a house full of gods. Now, we know in the Bible he's talking about idols, statues. We don't have those. We don't have idols in the Baptist church, at least not statues, but we got idols. Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. That's right. Anything that's more important than going to church is an idol. Anything that's more important than reading your Bible and praying is an idol. Anything that's more important to you than to be faithful to God is an idol. And remember, parents, if that's what you're doing and you're here, so you can say, thank bless God it ain't me, but you make sure it's never that way, because how many times has it been tempting to put your kids in Little League or some sport and they say, well, we practice on Wednesday and play on Sunday. We've had people, members of this church before now and in other churches I've pastored, who when that came around would call me and say, preacher, we can't come to church tonight. My boy's got a baseball game. My son's playing pee wee football, and they play Sunday afternoon, but they got to be there by 1 o'clock, and they got to play at 5:30, and so you know we just can't get there in time, and we can't get done in time to get to church. You know what you're teaching those children? Idol worship. That's right. That's exactly right. You don't have to wear a necklace or have it hanging on your wall. Anything that takes the place of God under any circumstance becomes an idol. You told me if you look at me and I do like that, that means you're getting too loud. So I've always got to plant to make sure that the duty ghost is keeping me under control. Now notice, they have a house full of gods, but notice the rhetoric. Notice that what they're saying sounds spiritual. Oh, I got money to give to God. I'm glad you gave it back, son. That money was dedicated to the Lord. That's like when you get paid, and you take your tithe out, and you lay it on the counter, and one of your kids picks it up and walks off with you, say, hey, who took my tithe money? And they say, oh, I didn't know it was tithe. Here, Mom, I have it. I'm sorry. I said, boy, I'm glad you brought it back, because I had to buy beer with that. You say, oh, me, preacher, I'd never do nothing. Well, make sure you don't. You'd be surprised how many people might. Come on now. Don't check out on me yet. We still got about 10 minutes. Notice, a house full of gods, they rejoiced in God, but in the wrong direction. The rhetoric is all wrong. Just because you know the words doesn't mean it's so. I hear a lot of people singing Amazing Grace all the time. Doesn't mean they know what it's about. I mean, I hear heathens, I hear atheists and godless people sing that at funerals because it's the right thing to do. Ain't got a clue what they're saying. So they were rejoicing in God, but then notice, after a while, they replaced God. That's what happens. When we're not dedicated to God, you watch, it won't be long before you'll be replacing God with something else. And then notice, then she raised a son playing God. Amen, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about she used God's name and she used God's direction in a totally, the rhetoric was all wrong. She lied to him, she led him wrong and let it continue until finally he goes out and calls himself a preacher. I've heard folks talk about people being called to preach, and somebody say, are you God called or mama called? My mother always wanted me to be a preacher. So I'm my dad. Listen, everybody told me from the day Andrew was born that he was going to be a preacher because his daddy's a preacher. He's not a preacher. He's a conductor on a train. Not a ticket conductor. He runs the freight train, you know. He's over the engineer. I mean, he's got an important, but he's not a preacher. And you know, I've had people say, you know, aren't you disappointed? Oh. Because I don't want to be the reason he's a preacher. If he's preaching for me, it's the wrong thing. If he's preaching because his mama wants him to, we had his picture made when he was a little boy, little suit, had my little New Testament, looked like a little preacher. Now, truth be told, Bethany was a little preacher in the family, but we couldn't let her be one. He'd get up on the fireplace and she'd say, get saved. She'd line her little dolls up and say, get saved. And she'd take him to the bathroom, fill up the bathtub, and I baptize you in the name of the Father. She'd baptize him. Thing about it, every doll in our house was saved, born again, baptized, member of the church. Now, you know what? We laugh at that. We talk about it all the time. But you know what? If we let that continue as normal routine, then we're simply letting them play God. God is not to be played with. So, obviously, the dedication was lacking because they had a house full of God, but it wasn't the right kind of God. Is your house full of the right kind of God? Number two, notice in verse 10. Not only that, the Bible says, and Micah said about the Levite that showed up. He anointed his son to be the priest. But you notice it didn't last just a couple verses. You know why? I bet because that Micah's son didn't want to be a priest. Number one, he wasn't supposed to. But number two, living in a house like that, why would he want to serve God? Why would he want to serve God, Jehovah, when his house, he grew up in a house full of statues. God for this, and God for that, and God for the other. It's because grandma, obviously they were living with grandma. There's no wife mentioned here. Grandma didn't teach him right. And so Micah didn't teach him right. And then Micah says, you're going to be my preacher. That's a daddy called for, and it didn't last. So then a Levite comes along and he gets the idea. Well, now there's the right group. And the guy says, well, I'm just kind of passing through. I just need a place to stay. He said, where are you from? He said, I'm an Ephraimite of the tribe of Levi. He said, you're my man. So we find that he hired a preacher. The Bible calls that a hireling. And there are many. I've sat in a room with them and heard them publicly to my face, to me and to others sitting at the table. First preacher's meeting I ever went to, a lunch. I was a young preacher, and I preached a revival for a man in the community there. He said, man, we have a lunch every, whatever it was, Monday or Tuesday. I want you to come, and let's fellowship with some of the preacher brethren. I said, man, that's great. I was about 26 years old, and these guys were all older than me. And I went and sat down, you know, and I was very quiet. I didn't have much to say. I didn't even know the fellas, most of them. And they got to talking, bantering around. And all of a sudden, here's the direction that I'll never forget this as long as I live. Boy, it made an impression on me. The very man that I was with, who I'd preached for, and I thought a lot of, looked at one of them and said, well, how's your work going? He said, well, it's not going too good. He said, I wish I could get more people in. Normal preacher talk, I guess. I was kind of shaking my head, you know, like me too. And this fella said, you know, he said, well, I'll tell you, brother. He said, I'm having the same problem. He said, but you know, he said, here's the thing. I'm not here to stay. I'm here till a bigger church comes along. And all of a sudden, the entire conversation went that way. And I felt like a duck out of water. I thought, you got to be. I said, man, that's not why God called you to preach. I mean, I heard him talk about more money and nicer cars and bigger parsonage. That's all they were concerned about. I never went back. But bless God, I don't know much, but I know that don't sound right to me. It doesn't sound right to me now. I don't want to be a hireling. You paid me to pastor you, and I appreciate it. You take good care of me. But I'm telling you, I'm not doing it for the money. That's how God takes care of his man. I didn't sign a contract here. I've never asked for a dime, ever. Never asked for a dime and never going to. I don't ever want a raise. I don't. Well, I just said, what? No, I'm telling you, God takes care of us. God takes good care of us. I don't want to be a hireling. I didn't surrender to preach because my mama was sitting next to me. I surrendered to preach because the Holy Ghost said, I want you to be a preacher. And I said, me? You want me? And he said, I want you. And I told my mother, I said, I'm going to the altar. She said, I'll go with you. She went with me, but I didn't follow her. She followed me. But I was following the Holy Ghost. Notice here. Notice. The Bible. And boy, is this just right on the money? Look at verse 10. Micah said unto him, dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver. He said, you be my preacher and preach and do it my way. I'll give you a salary. Wait a minute. Didn't stop there. He said, I'll give you a suit of apparel. He said, I'll give you a salary and a suit. I sound like a Baptist, don't he? And then he said, I'll give you your victuals. He said, I'll give you a bowl of soup. That boy was misled by a son who was misled by a mother into thinking that all he had to do to be blessed is to hire on somewhere for a salary, for a suit, and some soup. That's all it meant to him. And he accepted it. You know what that is? That's not being dedicated. Not only was mama not dedicated, and the dad and Micah not dedicated, and his son not dedicated, now he's taken a young man who maybe God was sending somewhere to be used, and now he's ruined him because now he's become a hireling. He said, well, preacher, that I don't have any preachers in my family. I'm not going that direction. I'm telling you, you can replace God in your children's and grandchildren's lives to the point that they will take something that God does not want for them. Just so they can live and think they can be happy and miss the greatest blessings of their life by not serving God. So when people say to me, aren't you disappointed that your son's not a preacher? No, because when he was old enough to understand, I said, son, if God doesn't call you to preach, I just want you to be a faithful Christian. I'm glad he's saved. I said, now be a faithful train conductor. Be a faithful receptionist down at the dental office. Be a faithful cab driver. Be a faithful ditch digger. Be a faithful whatever. Just be faithful. Don't let this world offer you things and say to you, hey, if you'll work overtime on Wednesday, they'll pay you more. You mean to tell me you're ready to give up God for a salary, a suit, and soup? Yeah, but you don't understand, preacher. Man, it's double time, time and a half. I get holiday pay. I can afford a lot of things. I'm telling you, you put that in the place of God, and there'll come a day when you'll wish you had never done it. I'm trying to help you here tonight. I've got 10 seconds. Verse 13, I'll be done. How dedicated are you? We see in our story here, we see that there's a house full of gods. You can't live a dedicated life with a house full of gods. You can't live a dedicated life when you've hired a preacher. But listen, you know, it's amazing to me how people, they love the preacher. I can produce tonight. Not on me, but I could bring them. I got letters, church members, where they licked me up one side and down the other. I was the best thing since sliced bread. I'm talking about former members of this very church. Boy, they said, man, you're the best pastor we've ever had, and you're the best preacher we've ever heard. And I'm not telling you this to build me up because I'm a nobody, but that's what they said until I said something they didn't like. All of a sudden, all that's out the window. Oh, and guess what? So are they. Now, what happened? What happened? They were looking for a hireling. They were looking for somebody to tell them what they want to hear. Now, folks, if what God says, and I preach what God says, is what you want to hear, you ought to be running the aisles. But if it's not, don't get mad at me. Better check yourself. Because in verse 13, and I'm done, he had the wrong idea of who God was. Started in a house of gods, little g, messed him up. spiritually, where he hired his own preacher. That messed him up morally. Now we find him having the wrong idea of God. Notice it says in verse 13, "And said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." Now that I've got one, doesn't matter how I got him, and it doesn't matter what he says, because you know as well as I do, that boy only said what Micah wanted to hear. Go out, listen, this boy go out and do sacrifices when he was not spiritually or morally authorized to do so. If he's not part of the priesthood line, he cannot. That's one reason why God took Saul's kingdom, because when Samuel didn't show up when he thought he should, he sacrificed himself. He did a sacrifice, a burnt offering to God. And when Samuel walked, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, you weren't here, so I did it myself." And Samuel said, "God never told you to do that." And you start trying to teach or live a life that you think is right when God never said it was right, you are at fault, not God. He had a personal idea. He said, "I know." He really didn't. "I know." He had a perceived idea. "I know that the Lord will do me good." Then it became a public idea. Seeing, in other words, he pranced that Levite, he pranced that hired preacher around and said, "Look what I got. Hey, look what I've got. I've got my own priest." It doesn't say it here, but it's very possible that because of that. So, isn't it amazing how when people see others with something or do something or have something, that it's not long before they want to have it too? They'll go out and buy one. Well, bless God, if she can have it, if she can have a dress like that, so can I. Now, I thought that was like a no-no in women's fashion for two women to wear the exact same thing, the same event. I thought it was anyway. That's the way I've always perceived it, you know. Watch I Love Lucy. I know how it goes. Don't you know? Don't you know that Micah said, "Hey, I've got something nobody else has. I've got me a hired priest. And he preaches what I wanted to preach, tells me what I want to hear, and I know God's blessing me because of it." Wrong, wrong, wrong. Now, we do not read what happened after this. I'd love to know what happened after, but I can about tell you what happened. I can tell you that somewhere down the line, God brought that thing to a close. That God was not pleased with it. God is not pleased. And we try to do what's right in our own eyes. So my exhortation to you tonight is, don't just be dedicated at times when it's easy. How about be dedicated to God when it's not so? When things are not going as planned. When your plans are changed by the will of God. And if it's not to your liking, don't get mad at God. Don't switch over to something else. Get closer to God. You imagine what kind of opportunity that mother had. Turn out a really great Christian because she lacked dedication. When Micah grew up, so did he. And sadly enough, more than likely, and now again, I don't know the story from here. I can't say this for sure, but I'm thinking, since you reap what you sow, that Levite, he never got right with God, lived his whole life regretting having taken that job that God did not authorize him to have so he could have a salary, a suit, and a bonus. There's nothing in this world that I want or need that I hope will never turn my eye away from being dedicated to survive.
There's a lot of, and I'm just like you, there's stuff out there I'd like to have. I'd like to win the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Yeah. Oh, that's Christian lottery. No, it's not a lottery. You've got to buy 8,000 magazines. When they tell you no purchase necessary, they're lying to you. Please. They walked up my door and said, "You win." I said, "I don't have a magazine in my house." What are they going to do? Walk away and say, "Well, you can't have this." It'd be a fight. Well, I'd get some of it. But honestly, Judy will tell you, I've had all. I'm a preacher and been one for a long time. Do you know what? There are times when people will actually ask me if I want to go to a football game on Sunday. What? I mean, first of all, what are you, nuts? Crazy? I love golf. Hey, you want to go play golf on Sunday? No. I love it. Here's what would happen. If I played golf on Sunday and missed church, tell you what would happen. I'd hit a hole-in-one on the first hole, but I couldn't tell anybody. That's how God would punish me. Because I could never say, "Yeah, I was out playing golf Sunday morning. Got a hole-in-one. Woo-hoo!" They'd hate my guts. But that's how God would punish me. Well, I'm not going to do it. Don't do it. Be dedicated to God. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, may we learn from this story how important it is and how important it is that moms and dads and grandparents be dedicated to God in everything because their children watch them. And even when the young man tried to do right, his mother took what he tried to do right by returning the money and then turned right around and said, "Here, take it and go do something bad with it." And he was doing bad with it from then on. Oh God, help us never to become a hireling or to hire out our families to do wrong for fame or fortune or opportunity. And may our ideas always be directed towards towards the Holy Ghost and God's leadership. Lord, I love this place and I love these people and I appreciate them. And I just want them to be happy in the Lord. However you want them to be happy, that's what I want for them. I want them to come to church on Wednesday night and be happy and excited. Hey, God's been good to me. Even when circumstances aren't good, God's still good. He's still God all the time. Help us to remember that. Help me to remember that. Many times in my life, I'm sorry to say, I forgot that. Help me to keep my eyes fixed upon the Lord. Bless the moment of invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name.